celebrate the process. That's what I'm reading here. It's part of your football fix this morning, where we guarantee you football every weekday morning at 8 o'clock. A lot of D-backs, a lot of Suns today, but we're never going to let you down at 8 o'clock where you get football. And it is an article written about comments Josh Rosen has made, which will come up in an upcoming podcast. But one of the things that are interesting about it is the strength of Josh Rosen's commitment to the process itself. Granted, very easy to say the right thing in June. Very easy for a rookie to say the right thing in June. But there's just way you say things that show about caring. And one of them, for an example, is how he loves being able to take the iPad and stop studying when he wants to stop studying. That it's now all about football. And he says, I don't have to put the iPad down to get ready for a history test.
Yes. Be the first one in and the last to leave, Josh Rosen. Isn't that right, Peyton Manning? You have to set the example for yourself first, of course, and then for others. Because you know what? When you get good as a player in the National Football League, when you get good and when you play quarterback in the NFL, people are watching. Make no mistake about that, my friends. People watch. When you're a good player or you're a quarterback, just a quarterback, doesn't matter. Just being a quarterback, people are going to take notice. They're going to watch how you conduct yourself.
Philo, first in, last out.
Philo.
Some sort of accounting term, if I remember right, from some business course somewhere, which reminds me of that feeling that when you're finally done with school and you don't have those term papers hanging over your head, right? That is an absolute liberating feeling. I can totally relate how Josh Rosen, now you're doing something you like. Now you're doing something, you're studying something because you want to, not because it's forced down your palate by the man or the curriculum in front of you. So, of course, there's going to be more buy-in right now because now he's all football.
It's the one position on a football team you have to. You have to be a leader. Quarterback has to be a leader. By default, a quarterback has got to lead. It's a prerequisite to playing the position. Isn't that right, Jay Cutler?
Now
it is.
I'm already interested in preseason. I realize it's June 20th. What's the game plan here? I mean, you've got a new quarterback. You've got a running back that held out. You've got what seems to be a vastly new wide receiver core. And most importantly, your starting quarterback is new. Yet he's injury prone, whether he likes the term or not. I'm not trying to be a jerk to Sam Bradford, but you think of a more polite way to say you get hurt a lot. And I'll use it. So how much do you put Sam Bradford out there? Risk of injury is enormous, so you don't want him out there. But can you really have your quarterback on limited snaps going week one? Yet every snap Sam Bradford takes in the preseason is a snap Josh Rosen is not taking.
Well, how about day one of camp? Do we know that Sam Bradford is full go? Do we know that he's going to be participating in every single drill? Or are they going to continue to follow the plan? We don't know what the plan entails for Cardinals camp. You could see Josh Rosen theoretically running with the ones in a lot of scenarios, just like he did in the offseason. We don't know what's in store and how they're going to manage the plan with Sam Bradford's knee come training camp.
You know what's amazing about it right now? He is the backup to Sam Bradford right now, Josh Rosen. He is the backup. You know, there's going to be a quarterback competition, but I don't think, and this is no disrespect to Mike whatsoever, but I don't think it's going to include Mike Glennon involved with Josh Rosen. It's Josh Rosen and Sam Bradford. He is the number two quarterback for the Cardinals right now.
Yeah. Glennon's ceiling is backup. Whether he's two or three, to be determined, but he's the backup.
But he's definitely going to be on this roster. I believe Mike Glennon is going to be on this roster because of the possibility of Sam Bradford getting hurt. Period. So they're going to keep three quarterbacks coming out. The final 53, I believe this. I could be wrong. Who cares? To me, I think there's no doubt in my mind they're going to have three quarterbacks on the final 53.
And remember, at no time since Steve Wilks has taken over and they've drafted Josh Rosen, has he shut down the possibility of a rookie being the starting quarterback. Normally,
you're right.
Normally, head coaches, especially first-year head coaches, when it comes to the quarterback question, they want to get rid of that immediately. That's like the third rail. They don't want that distraction. They don't want that discussion. And maybe my biggest takeaway from the offseason is he never snuffed that out. Now, he continues to say that Sam Bradford is a starter, but he also opens that door to the competition and the possibility that Josh Rosen might challenge, which is hard to believe considering the experience of Sam Bradford. So what does that mean?
I don't know, Paulie. I do know this, though. Josh Rosen, hey, listen, he said to this, what is it, Up Rocks? Is that what it was there? He said to this this blog, I don't know what it is, this entity, ladies and gentlemen. He said, quote, I'm going to be real and authentic. I'm going to be who I am. Every day that I walk into the locker room, all the guys know what they're getting. I'm going to be the same guy every day. You know what? Being genuine is critical. Yeah, you can't even talk about being a leader if you're not real, Bazanonians. You can't even talk about it. And being genuine can't even be considered a criterion of leadership because it's so based to the concept of leadership. It's an assumption, as a matter of fact. He better be real and genuine.
Just remember, the last person in this valley out of UCLA that declared, I'm going to be real and genuine, was Trevor Bauer. Didn't work out well for Trevor here.
Is that in between his long toss sessions from foul pole to foul pole?
That didn't work out well.
Yeah.
By the way, what other quick NFL story that's kind of, I don't know why he played the game, but you do have to read into it. Tom Brady is continually doing all these interviews now that talk about retirement. Almost as if he's putting pressure on the Patriots saying, you better start doing the things I'm asking for, or I might just retire early. And then where are you at now that I forced you to trade Jimmy G? The latest thing is ESPN asked him straight out on an Instagram message of, you talked about retirement with Oprah. When is this really going to happen? And he had already said mid-40s about a year ago. He posted back to them 45 in Spanish.
Now, I see. In Spanish.
Now, he's going to turn 41 during preseason this year. So that would be five more seasons of Tom Brady if he does indeed just declare, I'm done at 45. But Tom's being weirder than he's ever been as the quarterback of the Patriots. You cannot hide from the fact there's something going on with the New England Patriots. And there's a new report out that says Bill Belichick.
Bring us to the two-minute warning.
Oh, look out. That's a new thing with Bill Belichick that Bill Belichick has supposedly said that Rob Gronkowski was shopped to four different teams,
I see.
Is a new report during this offseason. How did that get out? Why did that get out?
Especially,
what do you want Gronk to know?
Especially when last week Robert Kraft at some event he was speaking at called it complete garbage, quote, end quote. He called any report that said they were considering trading Gronk garbage. So then this comes out subsequently?
You know, we've got to talk about one of the things Josh Rosen actually said to Up Rocks as well, and I'm going to leave you with this, Bazanonians. It was also about leadership. It said leadership is a long and messy road. It takes time and effort. Its foundation is within relationships. Grow strong, grasshopper. That is good stuff. Leadership is the question that I have with Josh Rosen. Leadership. Sounds like he's understanding.
There's no doubt that he regrets the first impression he made at UCLA, and he's all about rectifying that with the Arizona Cardinals.
I think you're right, Paulie.
And he's hinted around that, and that's one takeaway I have so far that, you know, he didn't like the way he came in at UCLA as an all-world prospect, and maybe there was an ego that went along with that. He's making darn sure he leaves a different first impression as an NFL guy.
Coming up next, the Suns are listening.
602-260-9870.
Is tomorrow night the night it turns for the future of the Phoenix Suns? You get to talk directly to the Suns next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Man, I'm starving.
602-260-9870.
It's listeners only meeting time. The Phoenix Suns, I know that they're listening. They haven't texted me this morning or anything.
No.
But here's why I know that they're listening. Because everybody listens with the different organizations. Because they wonder what you're thinking. Doesn't mean they're going to change. but they wonder what you're thinking. And you can create a wave if you are fearful of a Doncic coming and you want DeAndre Ayton. Or be that guy. Be that guy that calls the listeners only meeting.
602-260-9870.
And as long as you're convicted, say it. Say it should be Doncic.
Yes,
go on the record
it.
And say, how could you pass on Bagley, who's more local than Ayton, if you want to go there? Where are you going? Because somebody's going to be a Donovan Mitchell. Somebody's going to be a Tatum. Somebody's going to be, could be,
yes,
not the number one pick and be the best player in the draft. Best player of all time for some is Michael Jordan. He was drafted number three. Let's go to Paul in Phoenix. Paul, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, with the first pick in the 2018 draft. Paul is demanding the Suns select.
DeAndre Ayton.
Thank you. Why, Paul?
He's a generational type player. He's definitely going to be worth this first pick. You know, Phoenix might not be ready to win this year, but we're going to make sure teams feel us, and we're up and coming. It's time for Phoenix to rise.
All right, there you go. Paul from Phoenix, of course. DeAndre Ayton is his choice.
First of all, if you don't take DeAndre Ayton, you're just an idiot.
It's really simple, too. If all these guys are really good, you do have to worry about fit. And who do you want going forward? Do you want Booker and Ayton, or do you want Booker Doncic? I mean, think about it.
Jim Moore Jr. owns the word fit, Basinonians.
Let's go to Mary. I don't know if I got that right in Phoenix. Good morning. How are you?
Mary.
Hi. Where are you going? Ayton or who?
Ayton, DeAndre Ayton, he's the best.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Duly noted. Once again, let's get through these calls. Right now, it's a complete shutout.
Scott, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Who are you taking with the first pick?
Good morning, guys. I am, like everyone else, taking Ayton. Not only due to the fact that he's the best player in the draft, but he's a position that we are in desperate need of.
Scott, well done. If you're ever hosting a show, Scott, remember this word of advice. They teach you this in day one of broadcast school. Never ask a caller a question, okay? Ever. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask you a question. Will you reject anybody else? Will you be angry at the Suns if they draft someone other than Ayton?
Yeah, I think I would be. I think, at least for me, I think he's the guy.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Austin, good morning. You're on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. With the number one pick, you demand the Suns select
DeAndre Ayton. I'd be super upset if they chose anybody else but DeAndre Ayton.
There you go, right there. Austin from Phoenix says DeAndre Ayton, a complete shutout this morning with DeAndre Ayton.
Is there anybody?
Two different listeners-only meetings and a complete shutout.
Amino Hassan said this, and this is something that we have to think about here. Amino Hassan was really worried that the reason why Ayton is the number one pick is the combination of three things. One, he's good, which he's fine with.
Mm-hmm.
But two was because the Suns won the pick, and three is because Ayton went to U of A. Now, I can safely say I sit in this chair and I go home and I have a sickness, and that disease is college basketball.
I see.
And I watch a ton of college basketball. I would have seen Ayton if he played at Memphis. I would have seen Ayton if he played for Vandy. I would have seen Ayton if he played for Villanova. I don't care where. It was a November morning I came in here and I said, listen, I know we got to talk football, but I just saw a center get picked on the pick and roll, switch off at the college level, stay with a point guard, and then be able to keep him in front of him and then get down the floor and post up. And flipped out on DeAndre Ayton.
I could care less where he played.
So to me, it has nothing to do with this. But to you, the fans, is that what's happened? Are we going this crazy if Ayton played somewhere else? Is it actually a Tucson thing?
No, it can't be a Tucson thing. The only thing I care about, ladies and gentlemen, in regard to the fact that he played for the U of A is what Dave Pasch told us. Dave Pasch, Il Bajado, ladies and gentlemen, the bird Dave Pasch. Dave Pasch told us that DeAndre Ayton, they have a tradition, of course, down at the U of A, where a guy that hustles the most throughout the week, he holds on to this special jersey, this practice jersey, right? A guy that brings the intensity and the effort and hustles the most during practice. DeAndre Ayton did not give that up all year long. I think the best story that I've heard of DeAndre Ayton right now, and we asked Tim Kempton, we've asked a lot of people that have come on the show, what is the best story that reveals the person that we're talking about here? That, to me, is the best story I've heard about DeAndre Ayton.
Let's go to Stetson. Stetson, are you calling from Texas? Good morning. You're on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Yes, sir. I am calling from Texas, and it's Ayton all the way. Now, I'm not saying that because I hate Tucson.
No, I love this because obviously being in Texas, granted Bamba is from Harlem, but he went to Texas. Why are you standing on the Ayton bandwagon over a Bamba, who some people say, once he develops his shot better, has a higher ceiling than a lot of people in this draft?
Well, I actually live in Lubbock, so I saw Mo Bamba come to Lubbock and play against Tech. And, yeah, he can block shots, but at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to develop that shot like Ayton can. I don't think he can move his feet like Ayton can. So I'm all Ayton, and I'm ready for the Suns to make a splash finally in the draft.
That's fantastic. Number one, thank you, Stetson. Number two, you'll never meet a guy from Rhode Island named Stetson.
Yes.
Only Texas do you have
really?
Somebody named
Stetson. I'm sure there are some.
No, none. None. There's actually none.
Yes.
Rob and Chandler, good morning, Rob. You're on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. The Suns are listening, Rob. Who do you want the Suns to pick?
You got to go Bamba.
Oh! Rob! Now, listen.
He has deficiencies. You got to question a guy that isn't showing up on the defensive end of the court. There's a lot of presumptions that he's going to develop that. But you can presume that Bomb is going to develop the offensive game.
Wow. You're the first one to be anti-Ayton. And I realize you're not saying Ayton's terrible or anything. But you're now what changed your mind?
He's got deficiencies.
Well, I got to ask you this. If Ayton turns out to be a Dwight Howard caliber player,
okay,
is he worth the number one overall pick?
No, not at all.
No.
Is that possible? We got Howard.
It's all possible. But again, you can say that, my brother, about Mo Bamba. Could you not? If you took him number one overall.
Yeah.
I'd say that about him. He's no guarantee.
None of these guys should
absolutely
be number one because none of them are showing up on both ends of the
court.
Look,
absolutely. But when you're 19 years old, that says something to me, Rob.
Rob, that was fantastic.
You're 19. You got room to improve.
I look at it as, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Rob, but I really buy into the Ristich factor at U of A. Totally buy into the Ristich factor that if you've got 2 7-footers, it is the coach's job to design the defense that way. And so a lot of people insult Ayton for what they consider to be the lack of block shots. They insult Ayton because they don't think he's doing the things on the defensive end. And I'm looking at a head coach that's saying, you know what? I think you're more athletic than Ristich, and who wouldn't? So therefore, Ristich, you're going to be the rim protector. And Ayton, I'm going to let you go out onto the perimeter. I think it's a compliment to DeAndre Ayton. The question is the motor. Admittedly, though, Rob, you did scare me by mentioning Dwight Howard, because that would make you losers of the universe if you have Dwight Howard playing for you. Coming up next, tomorrow, the most important day in franchise history. And Wolf will tell you just how important tomorrow is for the Suns next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
DeAndre Ayton. Yeah, DeAndre. Ray. Back. Going number one overall. Ray. Back. Being drafted by the Phoenix Suns.
Your Pantera call out is driven by AutoNation Ford Scottsdale, located off for Frank Lloyd Wright in the 101. That reminded me of a very entertaining story. I don't know, even though the show is called the Doug and Wolf Show, we're just like you at your office or your work or your job site. They don't listen to anything we say.
No.
The boss men, the people that are in charge. But
rightfully so.
We got rid of something that I never understood why, but we used to give away Fuchsal t-shirts.
Yeah,
if you got the Pantera call out right, and then, or it was just simply if you followed Ron Wolfley.
Yeah, Fuchsal.
So if you followed the show, if you followed Ron Wolfley, you were eligible, and we would just pull a name out of all the followers. It's funny that you called out DeAndre Ayton, because it reminds me of the time where the computer that randomly selected, we would just choose a number that the computer selected, and then that was whatever number follower that Wolf had or the show had. I couldn't remember what it was. And it landed on, do you remember who it landed on one time?
No.
Right before the draft?
No, I do not.
You do not.
Whom Blair it is.
Yeah, boy! It actually landed on DeJuan Blair.
Okay, DeJuan Blair.
And DeJuan Blair won a Fuchsal t-shirt and tweeted a picture of him wearing the Fuchsal t-shirt. And we had that.
Oh, my God. What year was that?
Oh, gosh. And it was right before the draft of DeJuan Blair. So I'm going to guess it was around, ballpark it around 2010, maybe.
Wow.
Something like that. And so now I had this image, this funny image of DeAndre Ayton wearing a Fuchsal t-shirt, as you call him out, as the potential number one pick for the Phoenix Suns.
Google it, my young crunks. It's in the Urban Dictionary.
We had a good conversation with Tim Kempton earlier this morning, the Suns color analyst. And I don't know if you heard this, but we asked him, is this the most important offseason in the history of the Phoenix Suns?
Mm-hmm.
And he had a pretty good argument. He said new arena Charles Barkley was pretty big. And that was pretty life-changing.
Yeah, that was big.
And I understand anybody that says if you either say that's still bigger or if you have a more of a wait and see. I'll tell you later whether this offseason is. But I will squarely stand on this is the biggest offseason in the history of the Phoenix Suns, because when you look at all of the tanking it took to get here,
yes,
you look at how bad this franchise has been, you look at the angst you as a fan has against Robert Sarver, for the most part, and where this franchise feels like it has been going, and then all of a sudden, the number one pick in one of the deepest drafts ever.
Never been here before.
You have a player that is as good as Ayton, but let's not forget, there are a ton of really good players in this draft.
The panacea of tanking is upon us.
This, to me, does, because it could go either way. It does represent the biggest offseason in the history of the Suns.
Once again, they have never been here before. This is a momentous, we are on the precipice of a momentous day. The Labas Labis, as we say in the Latin, ladies and gentlemen, the Suns, right? The Labas Labis, the stain that will not go away. The Suns can wash it away. If they make this pick tomorrow and it's the right pick, it can be all washed away. Or it can be magnified. It can be magnified, vilified, and reviled for decades. Much the same way the coin toss and losing the coin toss to the Milwaukee Bucks ruined the Suns by everyone's estimation back then, even though that's a gross exaggeration, just ruined the first two decades because they lost that coin flip. I think that's just absolutely myopic and crazy. But having said that, again, I think it's that big a deal right now, knowing as well that Ryan McDonough, I believe, is still going to take his coins. He's still going to take it and push it all into the center of the table, metaphorically speaking, this offseason, because this is it right here. All of that angst, all the story about, oh my goodness, on March 18th, 1969, they lost a coin flip to the Milwaukee Bucks, and they lost Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was Lew Alcindor at the time, one of the greatest basketball players and talents the world has ever known. Is that a possibility for DeAndre Ayton? The ceiling is so high for DeAndre Ayton. Most people talk about the floor, and I understand that. The floor being, hey, his floor is so high. That's one of the reasons why he's going to be the first pick overall, is because the floor, the least you're going to get out of this guy is this. But the ceiling is ridiculous. Hakeem Olajuwon, some of the comparisons. David Robinson with a jump shot. It's just an amazing thing. And here the Suns sit. We are a day away from this. This could be the greatest, one of the greatest moments. Hey, listen, hypothetically speaking, if DeAndre Ayton is everything that we think he could possibly be, and the Suns get good, and what if they add a couple more players, and then suddenly, you know what, they've got a couple of guys they get in the free agent market as well, good players. Now, all of a sudden, what if, in fact, they win a championship because they drafted DeAndre Ayton tomorrow? Would you say that is a momentous day in the Suns organization? Of course you would, ladies and gentlemen.
First of all, if you don't take DeAndre Ayton, you're just an idiot.
Or he could be one of the biggest busts in the history of the NBA.
How about the listener that compared him to Dwight Howard? Said he's got all the physical skills in the world, but where is he going to have the motor every game?
What if Doncic turns into the second coming, right? I mean, what if Doncic is out there basically and he's Michael Jordan? Michael Jordan from Europe. And you miss on this.
There were a ton of people.
This
that
is
thought,
a fulcrum.
There were a ton of people that thought Michael Jordan would be good.
Nobody
thought Michael Jordan
exactly.
would be Michael
yep.
Jordan. Join 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party tomorrow starting at 4 o'clock, live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to RSVP to watch the Suns make their historic number one pick in the NBA Draft.
Doug and Wolf Show, 98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. The hardworking player of the series is brought to you by Copper Point Insurance. Get to the point.
So every weekday morning, Wednesday, or I should say every Wednesday, 7:30, since the beginning of time, we've done the Doug and Wolf NFL Power Poll, and Wolf has never remembered. Today, again, this is now falling into that same category. Wolf never remembers the hardest working player of the series.
Yeah, what's your point?
So go for it. Who is your hardest working player of the series?
You know what? As a matter of fact, Basinonians, I'm going to go with David Peralta as the hardest working player of the series. David Peralta, once again, here's a guy that just continues to get it done for the Diamondbacks, a guy who barreled one up last night. I'm going David Peralta.
Interesting, because he went 2-for-9 in the series.
I know.
Goldie went 2-for-7 with two dingers.
Right.
John Jay batted .400 in the series.
Well, John Jay, of course I'd go John Jay.
Oh, you would?
Okay, yes, okay, of course.
How did I, wait,
realizing
wait.
That
what if I was going John Jay?
It was only a two-game series, of course. That's what threw me off.
Even though he only pitched in one of the games, I'm telling you, what Archie Bradley did to close out the eighth and then face the gauntlet of Trout, Upton, and Pujols in the ninth.
Yes.
It was only one game. I'm taking him. My hardest working player. Yeah, I'm all over everything that Archie Bradley did two nights ago. Coming up next, I think it's decision time. Robbie Ray and Shelby Miller, are they ready? If so, who do they take? And how about one of the strong rumors that's circulating around Major League Baseball? Machado to the D-backs. We'll ask the assistant general manager, Amiel Sadel. I butchered that. Amiel Sade, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Every Wednesday, 8:45, we're allowed to go inside the Diamondbacks front office for your front office focus. Assistant General Manager Amiel Sade has just grabbed the Coulter Automotive Group sports line. Amiel, good morning. How's Danielle? How are the kids? Everything good?
Yeah, everyone's good. Yep. Kids are on their way to camp probably right now, so... Everyone's good. Thank you.
No, no problem. All right, let's get down to it. What do we have to do to get Machado? Okay, I know there's no tampering rules. There's nothing wrong with talking about players that are already signed on other teams. So what do they want? What do the Orioles want? Come on, Amiel.
Man, I don't know. That's a good question. Your guess is as good as mine.
Oh, I don't think so on that one. I'll consider you an insider. But is it time on a June 20th when trades happen? Are we talking about them now to get a trade deadline deal done? Is now when those types of deals start to begin, irrelevant of who we're talking about?
I mean, I think it's hard to say when those deals happen. I mean, every year is different, and it depends on the standings and who's in play and who's not. I think it's, you know, in Manny Machado's case, it's up to the Baltimore Orioles, and in, you know, anyone else's case, their team decides on when they feel like they're ready to pull the trigger. And, and for us, we're just going to do our due diligence on everybody out there. And look, at the end of the day, we have a really good team, a team that's been able to hold first place down. And And, you know, we've battled some injuries, and, you know, we'll continue to chug ahead, and we'll see what the next, 6 weeks leading up to the trade deadline leads up to.
So, Amiel, do you anticipate a huge sit around the big rectangle meeting in regard to the rotation? Who's going into the rotation? Who's coming out of the rotation? And will you be involved in that conversation?
I think given the fact that everybody's on the road and, you know, people are in different places, it's definitely not going to be around a big rectangular table. we've had discussions for the last couple of weeks, and those discussions will be ongoing. And I think, yes, I will be a part of those discussions, and as will a number of other people, and a number of people that are way smarter than I am in this situation. So, look, at the end of the day, we're going to do what's best for the players and for the team. And those decisions obviously are looming, but haven't been made yet.
Does Robbie Ray have to do anything to earn his spot in the rotation? Is it boom, pitch counts up, he's in, and there's no discussion? Robbie Ray is in as soon as he's ready.
Yeah, Robbie's been a horse for us. I mean, I think we saw last year what happened with Robbie when, you know, unfortunately after he got hit in the head, he had about a month down, and then came down at the end of the second half or even that last month. It was, you know, it was one of our best pitchers, and if not our best pitcher, and you know, he was fresh, and Robbie's, you know, in some crazy way, Robbie being down for 6 weeks is probably going to benefit him in the long run, especially in the rotation, because his arm will be pretty fresh. So, you know, it's not always the worst thing in the world for pitchers to get blows that are not arm related. And I believe, and you know, hopefully when Robbie comes back, it'll be, you know, we'll see a kind of beefed up version of Robbie Ray.
Now, same question, different name. Amiel Sade, assistant general manager of the Diamondbacks, joining Doug and Wolf. You guys did not trade for Shelby Miller, but in the first year you had him, he had a, you know, probably maybe above average is a way to phrase it, above average April, not terrible. And then that's when his UCL went bad. Is he the same way? As soon as he's ready, he's in the starting rotation, or do you want to see a little more before you drop him right in?
Yeah, he was, I agree with you. Last year in April, he was really good for us. Obviously, it was disappointing to see what happened, but Shelby's worked his butt off to get his way back to where he is today, and all kudos go to him. I mean, the guy was out there in the off season, and obviously he's been on his rehab schedule. He's really close, and I think those discussions are still ongoing. And you know, at some point, pretty soon, we'll find out where and when Shelby comes back. But we have nothing's been set in stone yet.
What is the best defensive metric to use to actually evaluate a baseball team? What is it you use, Amiel?
That's hard to say. I mean, every year it's ever changing. I mean, honestly, like we have analytical metrics that we use internally and that are, you know, that you may look at, and there's some component of defensive runs saved, and then there's also, I think you you have to use your eyes too. I mean, I've kind of grew up in the, you know, with a bunch of scouts, and so I think there are metrics that can help validate what you see, but then a lot of times what you see is almost way more important than what the metrics say. So there isn't one slam dunk metric. We as a club have played very well defensively, and there are some players, I think, you know, your general fan can tell you, have been outstanding, and and the metrics may or may not say that, but I know, you know, you and I can sit here and say, man, that guy's been really good, and so I don't know that there's necessarily one that we lean on.
Would you say that this team right now is an elite team defensively?
I think when we're at full strength, for sure, we have the ability to be elite. It's been hard because you also have guys that, that are out there and not necessarily, I'll say this. I think, like, we have the ability to be an elite team at every position. But we also have the ability to get a little bit better too. So, but I mean, if you look across the diamond every night, you're putting guys out there, and, you know, I'll touch really quickly on CO because I think CO has a chance to be an above average defender if he's not already in a position in center in the outfield that he never came up playing. And that's pretty impressive. And, you know, so those are things that I always look at. You know, the metrics may not say that he becomes he's an above average outfielder. I don't know if they do or they don't, but like given like where he is in his development path, it's pretty impressive.
We're talking to Amiel Sade, assistant general manager of the Arizona Diamondback. You speaking of defense, there was a play last night that really bothered me that allowed in an extra run. Technically, Dyson gets the error, but we all know that's a flaw in scoring for Major League Baseball. You one hop a throw into a base, you shouldn't, unless it's a terrible short hop, that shouldn't be your error, but we all know it is. But Ketel Marte, by the naked eye, by just a viewer for me, kind of olayed it a little bit, little flash, little daring, and then boom, misplayed it, and now another run scored. I love Ketel Marte. He helped save this team last year. But at the same time, is there sometimes a little too much flair in Ketel Marte, or do you consider that just a tough play and you don't expect him to make that?
No, I think there's a little bit of both. I don't think there's too much flair. I think that's how he plays the game, and that's great. I think in those situations, obviously, you know, you want the guy to make the play, and whether it's taking a step back and reading the hop a little bit better or just getting in front of it or, you know, not, like you said, I mean, olaying it, so to speak. But I think, you know, I think that's what young players do a lot of times. They live and learn. And sometimes they learn and it costs the team a run. And I think, you know, you go in, those are great teaching moments for Torrey and his staff where he comes in and they say, hey, you know, we got to make sure we get in front of that. Look at what just happened. Now run just scored because we didn't get in front of that ball or because you didn't take a step back. And I think those eventually, you know, I mean, errors never go away, but kind of in some way lazy errors, they do work themselves out as players get older and they get more experience.
I mean, how valuable right now is Clay Buchholz to this rotation?
He's been, you know, obviously I have history with Buck and it's amazing to see, he's kind of transformed himself into a different type of pitcher than I remember, just because now he's going at it. He's not trying to blow fastballs by guys, but trusting all his stuff. He's been great. I mean, obviously we all see this. I mean, he goes out and he's given us quality starts every time out. And at the end of the day, you know, this is a guy who signed as a minor league free agent with another team and then took an out and came here and we didn't know what to expect. And I think he's taken the reins and run with them. And I think he's been huge. I mean, he's been a great addition to our team and to our clubhouse and great for our young guys too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, helping out with a lot of things that I think veteran guys do are able to do. So.
Thanks for the talk on me. I'll text me next time you talk to the Orioles, okay?
Yeah, all right.
Thank
Amiel,
you. Talk
you.
To you later. There's Amiel Sade joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line for your Diamondbacks front office focus. You can go to CoulterTempe.com, CoulterOnCamelback.com, or CoulterNissan.com for your next new or pre-owned car. Coming up next, would you actually trade Devin Booker? There's one suggestion that says you've got to. It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.